this is going to be part five of worship. Next Sunday, you're going to preach, aren't you? Right. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about worship part five. And if you've been here, you know we've taken it from bowing before the Lord, understanding He is God and we are not. You understand that, right? He's God and we're not. Do you understand that for real? Because sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we act like we're God and He has to do what we tell Him to do, but He's God and we are not. And so we honor Him as God. You know, we spoke about coming into His presence. We used the analogy of the tabernacle of Moses that was constructed. Remember that? This rectangular structure, 50 cubits by 100 cubits. And they would enter in from the east gate, and there they would bring their offerings, their sacrificial offerings, right? And then there was this curtain that separated the common place, so to speak, you know, to the holy place. And in there were this place called the Most Holy of Holies, and that's where God's presence dwelt. And you know in Matthew, I think it was chapter 27 or so, how that when Jesus was crucified, how that curtain or that veil was torn in two. Remember that? We talked about that. And what that stated was that now you have access to the presence of God. You have access to the presence of God. You don't need a priest to go on your behalf. You have access to the presence of God. And not just access to the presence of God. I want you to know there's an invitation by God that is given to you to come and to dwell and learn of Him. And it's your choice. Don't complain to anyone if you're not close to the Lord, because you have access to Him. You don't need to wait on me or wait on Osby or John or Gail. No, you have access to the presence of God right now. But when you come into His presence, you must become a sacrifice. Amen. We read this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and Paul was begging and beseeching the Romans, listen, guys, you got to present your body the living sacrifice. And said, this is your true act of worship. This is your true act of worship. Listen, I don't care how high you jump and shout and dance, and I love it, but listen, if we're not living right, we're not worshiping the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this first point I want to make is this, because we're talking about a worshiper. And we learned that in John chapter 4 that God's not looking for praisers, right? He's looking for worshipers, right? Now, a worshiper will be a praiser. But all praisers are not worshipers, right? If I'm only a praiser and not a worshiper, then I'm going to stop in the outer court. I'm going to give my offerings, my sacrificial offerings. But when I become a worshiper, I become the sacrifice. I enter in past that veil that was there into His presence, right? And so a worshiper, I'm going to share this with you, a worshiper develops a willingness to wait on the Lord until He speaks. A worshiper develops a willingness to wait on the Lord until He speaks. I want you to go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And we're going to read a few verses there, Exodus chapter 24. And I'm going to read starting at verse 9, I believe. Exodus chapter 24, in verse 9. If you have to say amen. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went in up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on the mountain, and the cloud covered it 6 days. How many days? And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Moses waited how many days? 6 days in silence. Moses waited. God called Moses, come up here, Moses. Moses came up, but God didn't speak on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, or day six. Moses waited on the mountain 6 days before the Lord spoke to him. We must push past the awkwardness while we are waiting. There are times, even in our service, where God is about to speak, and he wants everything just to be still. And we will have to wait until the Lord speaks. And when there's nothing going on, we become antsy and edgy. Aren't we going to do anything? Is John going to play? Is Pastor going to speak? What's going on? We have an agenda. What time is it? It's 11 o'clock. We need to do something. The true worshiper develops a willingness to wait while God speaks. Meaning this, you have to exercise some patience, because God is going to see how long you're willing to wait on him before he speaks. Will you get edgy? Will you get nervous? Will you try to do something to make him speak to you? God says, just wait. Just wait. So often we push and strive to hear him. The pastor in Reading named Bill Johnson, he made a comment that most of us can attest to, that we at times we pray really hard and focus all of our attention on trying to hear from him. Have you done that? You focus all your attention, I gotta hear from the Lord, I gotta hear from the Lord, and you strive and you do all these things because you want to hear from the Lord, and then you do all that and there's nothing. Man, then you could be minding your own business, driving a car, doing the dishes, and all of a sudden, the answer you've been striving for is deposited in your spirit. Seemingly out of nowhere. The worshiper understands that I hear his voice not out of striving, but out of rest. As I rest in his presence, he speaks to me. When we strive, it is our flesh trying to get revelation from the spirit world. It doesn't happen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to start with verse 9 and read a few verses. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We shared before this verse is often used at funerals. It's not right. That's not what God is saying here. It's not saying that, oh, you can't know what God is doing. But watch this. Verse 10. But God has revealed them, my Bible says, to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now listen to this. The worshiper understands he does not hear from God through striving in his own flesh. Oh, I got to hear from the Lord. I got to hear from the Lord. You don't get it that way. God does not reveal anything through your flesh, but only through your spirit. It is when you calm yourself down, and rest in him, where the spirit then ties to your spirit. Listen, I don't know about you, but there are so many times when God will speak. He'll speak to you when you're at rest. How many of you have dreams? Everybody have dreams. I shouldn't have said that way. Of course, everyone have dreams. But oftentimes, God will speak to you while you're sleeping, because your mind has finally calmed down. Huh? Your mind has finally calmed down enough for him to speak to you. He doesn't, listen, you're not going to hear from God through striving. Oh, I need you to pray so I can hear from the Lord. I need you to, listen. It is the responsibility of the Father to speak in a way that the children can hear. It is the responsibility of the Father to speak in a way that the children can hear. A worshiper understands, I don't have to strive, try to make it happen, try to force God to speak. I'm just going to rest in him. And when he's ready to talk with me, he'll call my name. There's a story in 1 Samuel. Most of you know this story in 1 Samuel. Samuel's a young kid, just, you know, learning how to, you know, be a man of God. And so he's in his bed, and the Lord called out his name, Samuel. Because he's unfamiliar with the voice of the Lord, he thinks it's his boss, Eli. He gets up from bed and runs to Eli's bed and said, you call me? And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. This happened two or three times. And the final time, Eli said, oh, that's the Lord. When you hear the voice again, say this. Say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. See, God will wait till your mind is calm down so he can speak to you. If I want to get a hold of my wife and I'm away from home, what things can I do to get her attention? I can do what? I can text her. What else can I do? I can call her, right? If need be, I can email her, right? I can do all those things, right? God is much smarter than me. Amen? He knows how to get a word to you. A worshiper understands that and has this willingness to wait and rest in the Lord. I don't have to strive. That's human work. The things of the Spirit are not disclosed to the natural man. It only disclosed to the spiritual man. So I must position myself to hear from God by resting in the Lord. Not out of striving, not out of trying to make it happen, resting in the Lord. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. If you have it, say amen. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, you see what it says there? A still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You see, God's not in the big. So we come to service, and typically we'll start off with these loud rejoicing songs that tell of the goodness of God, right? To for you to acknowledge he's good and he's kind and he's long suffering, right? And then as we transition to a song selection that will allow you to then just think about God being God. Not what he's done, but just that who he is, right? And one pastor said this. He said to me. He said, "The server can't serve you on the dance floor." Now, if y'all never went to any house parties or clubs, you don't know what I'm talking about. But for those who were not saved all their life. They don't serve you on the floor, so to speak, because you'll knock things over, right? But there's a tendency to become uncomfortable in the quietness and the waiting for God to speak. Now, can you imagine being in a situation where God calls you into a place? You're in the right place, but then God does not speak to you for 6 days. You fast forward to the New Testament. God told the disciples and the apostles to wait, right? So they gathered in the upper room. Do you know how long they waited? You don't know? You didn't read your Bible? Okay, so 10 days. Can you imagine coming here every day for the most of the day? We're going to wait on the Lord. He's going to say something to us. Something's going to happen. We come to service Sunday night, and we wait on the Lord, and nothing happens. Most of you ain't coming back on Monday, but for the few who would come back on Monday, we wait on the Lord, right, and he doesn't speak to us. And then we come back on Tuesday, right? And by Wednesday, probably me and Sister Ola are left. And Friday, it's just me, Sister Ola, coming. But they waited. They weren't sure what they were waiting for, but they were told to wait. Moses heard God say, come up here. But God didn't speak to Moses for 6 days. He had to wait past the awkwardness. One of our issues in becoming worshipers is the waiting becomes awkward. What do I do while I'm waiting? It's awkward here. I feel uncomfortable because we are so accustomed to being human doings and not human beings. We're very comfortable with being human doings and not human beings. We feel like we need to do something. So I tell people, you know, when you come up to pray or get prayed for, just come up and receive. Just receive. You don't have to do anything. You ain't got to shout, oh, God, just receive. But we're accustomed to doing and not being or receiving. And so it becomes awkward for us, amen, to just be. And what God wants you to do is just be. In the creation time, God created everything. And then on the fifth day, he created, you know what he created on the fifth day? Oh, my goodness. He created man. Right? On the fifth day. On the sixth day. I was wrong. On the sixth day, he created man. And then after the sixth day, what happened? He rested. He created man the sixth day, and the man worked from his rest. He rested, and then he worked. He didn't put him to work first. He rested, then he worked. God, out of our hearing from God comes from our resting in him. And the worshiper understands, I'll rest in the Lord. He has the ability to give me directions by resting in him. Not out of striving, not out of trying to make it happen, out of resting in him. Just relax. Just take it easy. I've told my kids, I mean, just take it easy, just relax. You take your kids to somewhere like, I don't know, Disneyland or great, relax. Amen? Take it easy. Oh, just relax. Take it easy. And God is saying to us, relax. It's my job as your father to speak to you. Your job is just to listen. It's my job. See, a worshiper develops a willingness to wait on the Lord until he speaks. A worshiper takes time or takes on the mind and likeness of God. A worshiper takes on the mind and likeness of God. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A worshiper takes on the mind and also the likeliness of God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. And I got a few more minutes. Exodus 34, in verse 29. Verse 29 says, now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all the Lord had spoken with him on the Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. The worshiper, because of his time in the presence of God, takes on the mind of God, but also the likeness of God. You begin his glory shines on us, and then it is reflected on us to those around us, and they see the difference in us because of the time we spent with him in his presence. Do you understand that? The more time you spend with him in his presence, the more you take on his character and his likeness, and you begin to shine of his glory because you spent time with him, because you were willing to wait on him, and he begins to speak to you and begin to show you things he wants you to do. The Bible says in Matthew, come learn of me. Come learn of me. There's an invitation by God. Come, I want to show you some things. I want to teach you some things, so then I'll send you back out that you can do my work in your local area. Amen. Last Sunday, we looked at what was described as the Lord's Prayer, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Your kingdom come. We are called to establish God's kingdom here on earth. We do it because we spend time with him. He delivers a message to us what we should do, and then we execute his plan. Amen? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Do you know it by heart? Let me read it for you. In the beginning, God created what? Right. So verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, verse 3 is a very important verse. As we learn some of the attributes and characters of God that we're going to reflect here on earth. Verse 3 said this, then God did what? Said, right, let there be light, and there was light. A clear translation is this, and God said, light be, and light was. So this is what happened. God declared something that had not been in existence before. And once God declared it, it came into existence, right? Ephesians 5:1 says what? For us to be imitators of God as dear children, right? And so if you look at a child, and you'll see that some of the same attributes a child displays, he got those attributes from being in the presence of his father. Amen? Right. Maybe he grabs the fork the same way, have the same facial expression, say the same things, because he's been in the presence of his father. And so the more we stay in the presence of our father, we begin to make declarations like our father does. And we begin to declare things to come into existence that were not in existence. We begin to declare healings and breakthroughs that were not in existence, but they come into existence because we are demonstrating the same attributes our Father does. Because we've been in his presence and we've learned more and more about him. And he makes these declarations. The way I raised my kids was this. I raised them in such a way so that when they got older, they could start making decisions that were under their authority without coming to me. And so my youngest is now 34. Listen, I don't want them coming to me for every little old thing. Amen? Well, what shoes should I buy? Don't ask me about no shoes. It's under his authority. I've raised him up in such a way and given him certain authority that he can use now without coming to me. Amen? what the Father has done, he has raised it up in such a way that we can start using the authority that he has given to us to do things in the earth that he wants to be done. So, for example, Acts speaks about Peter and John on their way to the temple to pray. All right? If you read it carefully, it says how this lame person saw them expecting to see some money from them. Peter says, listen, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. If you read it, what Peter did not say is, oh, Jesus, do something for this man. If you read the text, what Peter did not say was, oh, Jesus, do something for this man. Read the text. What the Bible says is Peter said this, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Because he was given the authority by his Father to use the name of Jesus to make declarations in the air of his influence to bring the kingdom of God into that place. And so he did not say, oh, God, if you can, God, if you... No. He made a declaration. See, the worshiper understands his position as a son and the authority he's been given by the Father. He begins to operate under that authority and says, get up in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we are waiting on the Father to do a work that he's given the Son the authority to do. Are you listening to me? We're waiting on the Father to do something that he's given the Son the authority to do. And the Father is saying, well, why don't you just do it? Moses at the Red Sea, the Egyptians behind him, right? He gets like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Oh, my goodness. He cried out to God, and God's like, stretch out your rod, man. I gave you that rod. I gave you the authority, man. Stretch out your rod. The Bible says Moses stretched out his rod, and the sea parted. Huh? As you spend time beyond the veil as a worshiper, you begin to take on the character traits of your Father. You accept the invitation to come learn of him, and you learn of him, and you begin to operate just like your Father did, just like your Son does things because you do it, right? My son, you know, he likes rice and gravy and meat. Amen. He likes it because that's how what I've shown him, right? We've cooked it at home, so he really likes it. There are certain character traits I see in my son that they're mine. Some ain't all good. But I see him because he spent time with me, right? Everything about our Father is good. So the more we spend time with him, we begin to take on his character. And we begin to operate with the authority he's already given us. Listen, as sons and daughters, you have authority. Huh? You have authority. You have authority through the name of Jesus to make certain declarations. Huh? To establish his kingdom here on this earth. Don't be fearful. Don't run to the Father with something that he called you to do. He's waiting on you. Stretch out your rod. Well, Pastor, what happened if nothing works? They run back to your prayer cloth and say, God, I don't know. It didn't work. I need more of you. I don't know. And then go back and try it again. They wouldn't have been a story of the lame man and Peter and John if Peter would just have walked by him and said, man, I don't know about this one. How long you been sick? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Watch this. Sometimes we hedge our bets by asking the Lord to do something that he's called us to do, so that if it does not happen, we can say, well, you know, the Lord didn't want to do it. And the Lord says, I've given you the authority to do it. It will take a risk. Amen? When that person comes to you next time and says, I need prayer for something, it's going to take a risk. How long you been ill? Well, let me call Pastor and see. Listen. He's given us the authority, okay? We begin to mimic him because we spent time with him, right? Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children, right? We develop a willingness to wait on him while he imparts spiritual direction for our lives. We hear from God not out of striving, not out of, oh, I got to hear from the Lord, I got to hear from the Lord. No, out of rest. Right? Be open. Watch. Do this tonight. Before you go to bed, say, Lord, speak to me tonight. I'm going to sleep. Speak to me. God has a way of getting your attention. Amen? And he'll speak to you. Not out of you striving, that's human effort. But he'll speak to your spirit. Amen. Rest. Okay. Take a risk. Begin to use the authority that he's given to you already. Okay. All right. You're his child. Don't trip over trying to hear from God and end up striving. Just rest. It is the responsibility of the Father to speak to his children. It is your job as children to listen to when he speaks. Amen? It is not your responsibility. No, he's responsible as our Father to speak to us, his children. I'm just going to position myself to hear. And have this open heart to hear from our Father. I'm just going to place myself as much as I can beyond this veil and spend as much time as I can with him so that I can become like him, right? And then I can, the glory of God be upon me. And so that the environment around me would change. There is a desperate need for the kingdom of God to be truly lived out in our communities. We have this huge assignment by God to disciple nations. It is imperative upon us to spend time with the Father so he can give us the instructions we need to go out and to disciple the nations. They're hungry, they're hurting, they're orphans looking for a father. And it's our job as sons to introduce people to the Father. They don't know what they're looking for. They're looking, though. And we are called to display the kingdom of God on the construction site, in the classroom, in the courtrooms, in the hospital rooms. Each one of us has been given a design or a purpose. You have a bent to do something. God takes that natural bent that you have for whatever it is, and he says, okay, I've given you this bent for accounting or whatever it is, but you're my child, so I'm calling you to represent me in that accounting room, in that office. Everything that the Father has, he gave it to the Son. The Son now has declared those things to us through his Spirit. So big, said that the eye had not even seen, nor the ears had even heard, all that the Father has for us. Why did he give us so much? Why so much that it's just completely just out there? Because of the size of the assignment. You've been given so much because of the size of the assignment. You have a huge assignment. You're not there just to collect a paycheck. You're not just the team mom for your kid's soccer team. No, you have a huge assignment to disciple nations. He's calling you. Stretch out your rod. Stop waiting for me to do what I've given you the authority to do. But you got to be willing. Now, there may be some here today who do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And I want to speak to you. Today can be your day. Today, you can surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. You can stop running from him and surrender your life to him so that you can get in your place that he's called you to be and take on your assignment and fulfill this call for your life. And that some of you may have known the Lord, but you have kind of just backslid away. And God is speaking to you as well. And says, come, come. There's an invitation. Come, come, come. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry with you. I love you. Come, come, come. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can take your rightful place in God's kingdom and begin to walk like a son and daughter of God. Let's stand to your feet, please. What are you singing there? Listen, if you're here today and you've been running from the Lord, and God's been speaking to your heart about surrendering to him. Well, you've known the Lord in the past and you've kind of just slipped away and God is speaking to your heart today, I want you to simply come and join me here at this altar. If that's you, if that's you, if that's you, if you want to get right with God today, stop running, stop running, stop running, and surrender your life today. Come meet me here at this altar. I want to pray with you. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. Do not be hard-hearted, but surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus. He's speaking to you today. As John sings again, you have an opportunity to come. Come. Don't be hard-hearted. Come. He's speaking to you. He really is. He's speaking to you. Yes, my sister. If there's someone else, he's speaking to you. Hallelujah. Just simply surrender. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Marcia, come stand with Vanna. Come stand here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. We'll wait another minute. We'll wait another minute if you're here. Yes. Yes. Come on up. Come on up. Yes. Come on up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Ladies, listen, I'm going to make this declaration over you. And just look at me. Look at me right now. Look at me. I declare peace over you. I declare the word restoration over you. I rebuke the hand of the enemy off of your life. Yes, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. No longer do you have to be a human doing. This human being and just rest in him. He's been calling after you to take your rightful place in his kingdom. And the enemy has tried to throw many roadblocks in your way and with work and other things. But today you're saying no. And I surrender myself to the Lord. So say that to me. Say, Lord, I surrender all of me. I present my body as a living sacrifice. Holy, completely unto you. And I take my place, my rightful place, as a child of the King. Well, Father, you've heard this cry of these two young ladies. I declare joy to fill their souls. I declare peace to rule their hearts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I rebuke the devil. I release you from your assignment, Satan, over these two ladies, and they will fulfill the call of God. And so, Father, I thank you for this time and for them. Restoration for them in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. And the church said, amen. Come on, shout glory unto the Lord. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Charleston, come on up, man. Grab a mic, man, and we're going to. How are we going to do this thing today, Cherie? We got cake back there? We got. Did they have to wait for me? We have two cakes? Okay, you ain't waiting 10 days now. Okay. So I'm going.